The list of companies joining the Stop Hate for Profit campaign continues to grow. The campaign says it's taking action against, quote, Facebook's long history of allowing racist, violent, and verifiably false content to run rampant on its platform. And the campaign encourages companies to pause their ads on Facebook for the month of July 2020. Hundreds of companies, including big names like Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Verizon, and Unilever, have signed up to the Facebook advertising boycott, but will it have much impact on the social media behemoth? Dr. Ariadna Matamaras-Fernandez is an expert in hate speech on social media and a lecturer at the Queensland University of Technology School of Communication, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Ariadna.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. Can I start by asking you, is Facebook, in terms of the issue of a hate speech, is Facebook significantly worse than other social media platforms?
Well, I mean, content moderation and just tackling racist violence, hate speech and misinformation, I think it's a shared problem. And it's not that Facebook is doing better or worse, but Facebook is one of the largest social media platforms, and it operates globally. So it gets a lot of attention, and that's why we have it in the middle of a lot of focus on the media. But content moderation at scale, it's very difficult because you have to combine humans and you have to combine algorithms. You have different contexts, and it gets very difficult to really identify hate speech, but also like racist practices that do not align with what we consider legally hate speech.
Right, yeah. So what's your assessment of how Facebook is faring in terms of dealing with that issue, particularly, as you say, on the massive scale that Facebook has across the globe?
Well, we are seeing, like, Facebook has progressively, like, improved its policies. The problem is enforcement.
And
now what they are doing is they are improving, and they are doing public announcements about, like, enforcing their rules better. They have the oversight board that this will start operating probably at the end of this year. And this is also a positive change. But again, it's a really US-centric. And sometimes we have, like, all these accounts taken down or pages, but if we come to Australia, if we go to, like, Spain, where I come from, it's more difficult to see that the enforcement of these rules works too. So I think that this is one of the principal problems.
Could you give us an example of that? I gather that there has been some Australian content flagged as racist in terms of memes in Australia. How has Facebook dealt with that?
Yeah, I did, like, my PhD was around the Adam Goods controversy. And when I was analyzing the content, I saw a lot of Facebook pages making fun of Indigenous Australians. Mm-hmm. And these pages, after some of them were considered not violating Facebook policies, but when they were considered as violated, they were taken down just for Australia. But sometimes these pages are still visible for other users outside Australia.
Yeah, right. And potentially that's a much bigger audience for the racist content.
Exactly. So you have the Online Hate Prevention Institute in Melbourne that it's documenting on a daily basis, not only against Indigenous Australia's hateful rhetoric and racist violence, but against Muslim people. So again, this is sometimes these pages are not visible within the contents where they are mostly problematic. But if you keep them open for biggest audience, as you are saying, this is still, like, you are sending the message that this kind of content is okay. So you are normalizing this kind of practices and speech.
We're discussing the Facebook boycott with hate speech expert Dr. Ariadna Matamoras-Fernandez. Can I ask you, Ariadna, what do you think the likely impact of this this campaign under the hashtag Stop Hate for Profit is likely to have on Facebook, but also on the advertisers. I saw that Politico said that asking a corporation to boycott Facebook just in July 2020 is like asking a casual drinker to observe Lent by giving up alcohol in a dry country. Is this really a significant initiative?
Well, it is. It sends a message. I mean, Facebook ultimately is a company that sells user data to advertisers. So if the advertisers are boycotting Facebook, it sends a message. And you have like organizations that have been pushing for this move. I mean, obviously, if everything goes to normal after July, the impact is not like that meaningful. But we've seen before with the YouTube ad boycott that this pushes companies at least to do some changes. So YouTube changed the policies, but again, you have a change of policies and maybe the enforcement, it's a bit more difficult. But we can see now that YouTube, because it changed the policies around white supremacies, now with all the controversies that we have around racial justice, it's enforced the rules and it's banning some salient like white supremacist content creators. So I think it's good, these campaigns. The thing is, again, it's thinking about these issues over time and this consistency of guaranteeing that social media platforms are not a place where racist violence and misinformation and hate speech are normalized and are.
If you look at the aims of the Stop Hate for Profit campaign and their recommendations, one of the things they want is some sort of independent oversight of the moderation of hate speech. Is there any indication that Facebook would contemplate something like that? What's Facebook's reaction to the sort of the sting on advertising in July been so far?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another of the things that have been like all the scholars and the social society, civil society have been saying, like more transparency, the opportunity to be able to participate with other stakeholders in just knowing how content moderation, because even like if you see the work of Sarah Roberts with commercial content moderators, we have some policies, but then these content moderators have like private guidelines on how to enforce the rules. So we don't know like really like all these choices, how are they made, because we don't have this information. But again, things like the oversight board, I think it will be very important to just follow how this kind of new independent institution works.
Yeah, and could you just explain that Facebook oversight board, just exactly what it is that's being introduced and where that process is at for us?
Yeah, so the oversight board is kind of an institution where people, like we have an advisory board of independent researchers and civil rights advocates, and it will be able to appeal for takedown. So if there's a like content that has been takedown and users do not agree with this decision, there's a kind of a formal appeal, and then the oversight board will review Facebook decisions and will come with a decision on whether it was good or not. So it will set a precedent on whether Facebook is acting according to the guidelines, or if it's due process. I think it's a step forward to follow more like due process decisions in terms of content moderation. And it will be, I mean, like the news is that probably will be starting the end of this year.
Right, so there's still quite a bit of time to go before that that sort of kicks in.
Exactly.
In terms of strategies for dealing with hate speech in social media, obviously there's debate over the level of platform responsibility and how much they should, what actions they should be taking and how effective that can be. Are there things that individual users can do as presences on social media to try and sort of influence this problem in a good direction?
Yeah, because when we see all these debates around hate speech, it's the more overt content, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the focus of attention. But sometimes we participate and we reinforce power structures by our everyday practice. And this is everyday racism. So there are some examples, like Sarah Jackson talks about the digital blackface. So like the tendency of like white folks to use black characters to express like overt emotions. And this kind of reinforces the long-running racist tradition of blackface, of white people animating black characters for the amusement of the white culture, but within the digital, because you're using these GIFs or you're using memes. And I think when we, like as an example, when we are using humor to reinforce a power structure instead of using humor to challenge a power structure, then this is problematic when we are doing it to punch down vulnerable communities. So that's something that probably it does not necessarily meet the legal criteria of hate speech, but it's a problematic racist practice that maybe we should be more conscious about not engaging with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ariadna Matamaros Fernandez, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And obviously it'll be interesting to see how many others join the Facebook boycott in July and what happens with those advertising dollars after July.